Good morning, Walmer. I'm Dean Proctor, and I want to say greetings from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, where I have just, in the last number of days, moved to become pastoral team lead at First Baptist Charlottetown. I'm really grateful to my friend, Pastor Elaine, for the opportunity to open God's Word with you this morning, to kick off a calendar year with you, to launch into something that we hope is better than, well, the last 12 months. And you know what? I'm going to spare you all of the commentary about, aren't you glad that 2020 is over? Because, well, we already know how unfamiliar, how unpredictable, and how unhappy the majority of last year turned out to be for many people. But I do want to jump off of that idea and use it as a way to encourage all of us to re-examine our respective and our corporate faith in Jesus. Because the longer that I follow Jesus, the more convinced I become that actually, if you want a life that is familiar, that is known, that is happy, that is predictable, well, being a Christ follower, even within a global pandemic situation, is not for you. Being a follower of Jesus is actually the opposite of those things when we look at what the scriptures say and what many of our own life experiences have shown. The kingdom that Jesus rules is an upside-down kingdom, where down is up, where up is down, where babies are born to save the entire world, where the king dies in place of his subjects. It's a journey in a kingdom where those who seek to be first in line find themselves last in line, and who discover if you want to find your life, well, first you have to lose it. No, following where Jesus leads isn't neat, it isn't tidy, and it's not easy. It's a life of constantly starting fresh, grasping a hold of new beginnings. And that right there is something that I want to celebrate with you this morning. The great thing about our journeying with Jesus through all of this is that he has given us, at great cost to himself, a sort of reset button. And so when we find ourselves headed down the wrong path, spiritually or emotionally, mentally, even physically, we can, through the Holy Spirit, change direction and go back to where we left the right road and then continue on with our sojourning. 2020, as it turned out, has left this early part of 2021 looking for some significant resets, not just in the whole world, but probably within your own congregation and certainly within your own faith life. So as we kick off this calendar year, now is the time to commit to treading some unfamiliar and possibly even unwelcome ground as you move from what was routine last year or even the last several years and move toward actions and attitudes that are going to move you forward in your walk with Jesus. That, in a nutshell, is I think what being a Christ follower is all about. That no matter what the road looked like last year, or yesterday, or this morning, so long as he's leading you forward and so long as you continue to follow, you're golden. That's because there is one essential foundational thing for a determined reset or fresh start of faith, and that is Jesus himself. There's no program, there's no policy, there's no pastor that can straighten out our journey for us the way Jesus does. So I want to make a little more clear what I'm on about this morning. And I want to do that by looking at four guys who I assumed at one stage of their lives probably thought they would be fishermen forever. That is, until they met Jesus and then their thinking got reset. And so I'm reading this morning Mark chapter 1, and it's verses 16 to 20. And I'm going to read this out of the New International Version for us this morning. So it's Mark 1, 16 to 20. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. And without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Now, when I read this event and I look at the people directly involved in it, my mind instantly floods with questions. And for our purposes this morning, let's walk through some questions about Simon and Andrew. First of all, we know this wasn't the first encounter that they had with Jesus. If we look at John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42, we can read there that it says that they had been introduced to Jesus before following him. So then that makes us ask, well, when he did invite them to follow, what motivated them to just drop everything and go? Another question, were Simon and Andrew, and of course, subsequently, James and John, I mean, were they just looking for a fresh new season, a new beginning, a new chapter, a change of scenery? And Jesus was able to build on that and utilize that? I also wonder what they had been hoping for or living for up to that point. I suspect that life was probably kind of predictable, familiar, routine. I mean, get up, go fishing, bring in the catch, mend and clean the nets, go home, sleep, do it all again tomorrow. You see, they hadn't been chosen among the Jewish community as young boys who would begin to study with a rabbi and to take on the rabbi's mantle. So beyond fishing, as their father had done before them, and likely his father before him, I wonder what Simon and Andrew were hoping for beyond what they already knew. And again, is it possible that they were thinking of leaving the family business and in some cases their extended families anyway? Like, the text doesn't say that, but their willingness just to move so quickly into something completely unknown and new to them, well, I think that says a lot. And now I know we romanticize this exchange and exchanges like it, and we say, yeah, but who in their right minds would say no to Jesus? And what did Simon, Andrew, and later James and John really know about him anyway? See, we know fully who he was and what was happening, and how it would turn out. But they didn't know any of that yet. But they still dropped everything that was familiar and followed him. And I just don't accept that it was just Jesus' glowing charisma and personal magnetism that attracted followers to him, because the Bible also records in a number of places people like the rich young ruler. They were very able to say, no, not today. No, I don't think I'm going to follow you. But these four fishermen chose to follow him. So there are questions like that. There are other questions too. But I think the big questions for this morning, as this new year is dawning on us, are about the invitation for a new beginning or a fresh start. What did it cost these men immediately to have that kind of fresh start in their lives? Well, for these four and eventually eight and several more beyond that, hundreds more in fact, this was not just a new daily routine that, you know, this might be fun or it might be a nice diversion for a while, let's give it a go. This would be a step into something completely unpredictable, a lifestyle that was 180 degrees from anything they had known. And life for these Galilean fishermen, by following Jesus, was now going to be filled with unfamiliar experiences, with new people, with different cultures, with unbelievable sights and sounds and lessons that are all centered around faith and grace rather than law and legalism. So this was day and night from everything that they had known before. Think about that. This was an act of total commitment. Not a weekend distraction, not some kind of holiday road trip, not a two-week vacation. This was whole life. This was every day a masterclass in godly, biblical discipleship to be lived out in real time wherever they went and with whomever they met. Secondly, this fresh start for the fishermen demanded from them a willingness to let go of the known, to walk by faith and not by sight. Gone was the thought that godly teaching was something reserved only for the Sabbath. It required that these followers of Jesus humbly lay down what they thought about God's will and God's way, and hear over and over from Jesus, "You have heard it said, but I tell you now." See, a new beginning. It brought new meaning and new depth to what were to them as Jews often heard scriptures. I would think, thirdly, that it would also mean a reevaluating of their definition of contentment, or even of success. In many ways, this fresh start replaced the conditional nature of human happiness with the unconditional joy of the Lord. Now, no doubt, their departure from their homes, that had to have created some significant family conflict. We know that Peter was married, but now he's deciding to follow Jesus into who knows what. They had not only just dropped their fishing nets and left their workplaces, they were quite possibly leaving behind stakeholders in the family business. They would have left family members and friends unhappy with the choice they were making. But for them, the joy of the Lord was their strength. And so they moved forward in this new opportunity, new life. Their material future would, from this day forward, this is my fourth point, would take a back seat to their new faith adventure with Jesus, because they went from having homes to being itinerant, moving from place to place, eating grains of wheat when they were hungry, relying in faith on Jesus to multiply fish and loaves to feed them and to feed thousands of others. They went from owning things themselves to having a common purse into which they all contributed and shared. And look, I'm not going to ask you if you could do what the disciples did or what others have done. And I'm not going to ask you out of guilt or out of a means of questioning your faith if your reaction to Jesus' invitation on the shoreline that day would be anything less than what we see in Simon, Andrew, James, and John. No, but what I do want you to do is consider what a fresh start, what a new chapter in your spiritual life and in the life of your congregation, like we see here in Mark chapter 1, what would that look like? What would that look like for you? What would that cost you if you were to truly embark in following Jesus where he wants you to go in 2021? Well, go back to the idea that being a Christ follower is a total commitment. I mean, if you had to graph your commitment level to following Jesus, 0 being none at all, 10 being totally sold out in every way with everything, I wonder where you would place yourself on that scale. 0 to 10. Well, you can see in this text and in others as well what Jesus expected of the disciples. And so, do you think he would be satisfied with where you're placing yourself on that scale? Tough question, isn't it? Total commitment means doing things Jesus' way, in Jesus' time, not simply when it's convenient for me or when it works for my schedule this week or so that we can do it exactly as it's always been done. The question at the bottom line is my Christian faith a Sunday-only thing, or is it an everyday masterclass in discipleship at the feet of Jesus, the way that it was for these disciples? These disciples also demonstrate for us the imperative to let go of the known when it comes to our faith life. Following Jesus every day is a journey into the unknown, but where we can have total confidence and trust that, as the one leading, he knows where this whole thing is headed. I don't necessarily have to know before moving my feet forward and following him. Having every question answered satisfactorily or practically before I'm willing to embark on a mission that God has plainly given me is an attempt to cling to the known. That's the way we've always done it, or always did it. I said this morning that I'm in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. We arrived on the island the day before New Year's Eve. We've never been here before. We bought a house over Zoom. We've never been in it until the day we showed up and unlocked and walked inside. I'm not saying that because we're some giants of the faith. I'm simply saying when I talk about taking a step into the unknown, I'm living that right now. It's exciting, actually. Well, maybe you will have to reevaluate your definition of what contentment is and what success is in 2021 to fall in line with Jesus' definition of these things. See, a balanced budget alone is not really evidence of a godly ministry. The fact that churches aren't largely even able to fully utilize their church buildings at all is not something that should define our contentment as Christ followers. For the disciples, catching fish was success. Not breaking or tearing their nets in the process was success. Getting through another day with enough to eat was success. And then along comes Jesus and he broadens their scope. And it was no longer about living in the moment or being concerned only with today. Jesus opened their eyes and he opened their minds to the imperative of living eternally. Catching fish was noble enough. But becoming fishers of men under the teaching of Jesus, well, that's what their life was really all about. The fourth thing, maybe for a fresh start for faith in 2021, you may be needing to learn or be more willing to learn new and unexplored sides of God. Sides that, experientially speaking, you've never known or perhaps never even considered before. Let me put it this way. If you can succinctly and thoroughly describe God to another person, I would humbly suggest that you're limiting and reshaping him into something that is knowable fully and quantifiable fully. If all you know about the Lord is what the Bible says, but you've never personally experienced any of it through his Spirit, your God is too small. The scriptures declare that our God is beyond description, with a nature that can't be contained in words or appreciated fully, but when encountered personally, is spiritually and personally transformative, if a person is willing. So, presuming you're hearing this morning from a person you've never met before, and you're thinking, I actually do want a little of what he's talking about. I actually do want to model a little bit of what I see or a lot of what I see in these disciples. So how do I go about enacting these things and having a fresh start of faith that's going to strengthen me and my church through 2021? Well, a few thoughts on that. Number one, start at the beginning. Just make the humble but necessary choice to put God first, not yourself. Not Pastor Elaine, not the convention, not the church building, not the family fishing business, not the bottom line, none of that. Put God and only God first and foremost in everything and make time with him in prayer and in quietness your number one priority starting today. Second thing, remember when it comes to this desired reset in faith that you're seeking, that repentance itself is actually the start of that fresh start. In recognizing errors and failings and sins, however big and however damaging they've been, it's about recognizing them but not getting sidelined by them forever. You are never, none of us are ever beyond the redemption offered by Jesus. So don't be tricked by the enemy into thinking that you are. And don't exclude yourself in advance from what God in Christ wants to include you into. The third thing, and it's related to that act of repentance, and that's forgiveness. This too can be a fresh start in our lives, including when we forgive ourselves. Look at the example of the one you say you want to follow. Look at Jesus. Offer forgiveness and seek reconciliation. And finally, this is the last point, remember that a fresh start in walking with Christ, it needs a long-term view. And so consider that truth when you look around this morning, when you consider the shape and the composition of your faith life, of your congregation. Recall that the process of pruning, which can look to you and me like loss, almost always leads to new, fresh, and abundant growth. We plant new seeds, we water new growth, but God alone brings about the harvest. After the crucifixion of Jesus, what was it that the disciples did first? Well, the disciples scattered, and they went back to their old ways. When they ultimately encounter the risen Christ, the Bible shows them fishing. They went back to the known, the familiar, perhaps even the comfortable. In their minds, they didn't have Jesus anymore leading them anywhere, and so by reflex, they led themselves right back to where they were when Jesus found them. We all do that. We all fall back on the familiar and on the comfortable when we stop making sure that Jesus is ahead of us, leading us. So, Walmer, don't continue to live in last year or the year before that or some romanticized era of your life. Embrace today. Decide this morning that 2021 is going to be mind-changing and life-changing for you, not just because 2020 is behind you, but because the cross of Jesus Christ is in front of you and the Spirit of God is within you. God bless you, Walmer. May He make each one of you a blessing this year.